Christ is risen.
He is risen.
We hear the gospel of the sheep gate called Bethesda on the fourth Sunday after Pascha every year. I want to start by focusing my attention on the man who was paralyzed and was lying there at the pool, paralyzed for a very long time. Although we know from the passage that the angel of the Lord troubled the waters of the pool, but we don't know how often that happened. But we do know that each time the waters were stirred up, others of the lame, blind, and paralyzed made it into the water before him and received healing. The paralytic went through the same process over and over again in hopes of being made whole to no avail. You can probably hear the hopelessness in his voice when the Lord asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" I mean, after all, he'd been trying the same thing over and over and over again, persistently for 38 years, without getting any results. Without being the first one to go into the pool. So, the Greek word that is often translated into English as well is the Greek word yeis, from which the modern Greek word yeia comes from. This word is better translated in the scripture as being made whole or healthy. Now, both the ancient Greeks and the early church fathers understood health in a holistic manner, both in terms of the health of the body, but also the health of the soul. Both of these are actually taken into account. So when we say, when the Lord asks, "Do you want to be made whole?" What is he asking him? Do you want me to make not only your body whole, which is probably what he was thinking about, but also your soul? Because the Lord does both. It's holistic. The Lord is asking him, in essence, do you want to be restored to full health? For the Lord is the creator of heaven and earth. The paralytic doesn't give a smug, of course, like, "How silly of you." Who would not want to be restored to full health? But rather, he states the fact of his dilemma. When the water is troubled, he just can't get in there fast enough to get to the water first, and states that this has been going on for a long time, 38 years, which in those days was probably the better part of his life. People probably only lived about to a maximum of, 40, maybe 45, or maybe 50 years tops in those days. So he'd been trying to get cured for probably the better part of his life. This man must have started to give up hope, or maybe even given up hope of ever being the first into that pool for salvation. He stated others got into the pool first. If the other blind, lame, and paralytics got into the pool before him, one has to ask the question, did they have help? Did someone else help get them into the pool, such as a healthy family member? We really don't know the answer to those questions. However, we do know that over that long period of 38 years, this particular paralytic did not get into the pool first. And this failure happened over and over and over again, every time the water was stirred up by the angel of the Lord. Yet the paralytic states the facts with humility, even though his tone of voice may have been that of hopelessness. Yet the Lord gives mercy to those who believe in him. In this situation, unlike others in the gospel, the Lord doesn't ask the man if he believes that the Lord can cure him. The belief is obvious. The paralytic has been trying to get into that pool and receive healing through the angel and has been trying to do so for 38 years. That's got to be faith in action. It's obviously pretty strong faith to be able to keep trying and trying and trying, having confidence the Lord will eventually heal him through this angel, even though he wasn't successful. But the Lord does establish a couple things here. The obvious is the healing of the paralytic, that is the healing, removing the paralysis of his physical body. The Lord makes him whole and restores him to health. But it's not just his physical health alone that is restored. The paralytic's soul is also made whole. The Lord forgives his sins. It's truly a complete healing. He does this on the Sabbath, the Jewish day of rest, when no one is allowed under the Mosaic law to do their customary professional work, okay, much less this layperson carrying his pallet. The fact that the Lord did many of his healing acts throughout the scriptures on the Sabbath, I think, is also revealing. It proves that God is the Lord, and the Jewish authorities should take notice and worship him and seek his forgiveness. For he is the same God that liberated the Israelites from Pharaoh during the Passover. He is the same God that fed the Israelites manna in the wilderness and sustained them on the long trek to the promised land. He is the same Lord who has mercy on all who seek after his mercy. God's mercy is both for physical and spiritual healing. That is, for the healing of soul and body. Let's now turn our attention to the Jewish authorities. They questioned the paralytic as to what happened at the sheep pool. They on the surface seemed to want to know how the paralytic was made whole. He recounted the story twice. At this point, the paralytic did not know it was Christ who healed him. All the paralytic knew was that a miracle had taken place for which he was the beneficiary. He benefited from Christ's healing, even though he didn't know it was Christ. For Christ is not found in the crowd. He left. He doesn't like the crowds. He wants to be close to God. He went away after performing this miracle. After several weeks had passed, Jesus found the paralytic in the temple, and he acknowledges the wholeness of the man once paralyzed. The Lord exhorts him to go and sin no more, lest something worse befall him. The Lord is reminding him and us that sin causes paralysis of the soul. It interferes both with optimal prayer life and eventually leads to physical health problems. We've all heard the passage of St. Paul, the wages of sin is death. Now the whole paralytic is so thankful that the Lord healed him that he acknowledges the Lord to the Jewish authorities, who cannot accept the fact that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the God of the Sabbath and the God of all. They cannot accept that he is the same God who in the Old Testament liberated them and led them to the promised land and made them his chosen people. They took that for granted. So there's a message for us here today. What is that message? We too are paralyzed by sin. We too tend to take God for granted. We too forget that God often does his work, sometimes overruling the laws of nature and even some human traditions. The Lord encourages us to seek the deeper meaning of what we do. We can't just be robots blindly following a ritual. The rites and sacraments of the church serve the purpose of bringing us closer to God, closer to Christ, and are the means for the Lord to complete his goal of bringing us closer to him. However, we must not take these things for granted. They are not magic. There's nothing magic about the sacraments of the church. They are God's gift to us. They are the vehicles, the means of Christ's healing of both our souls and our bodies. They are the signs and promise of his mercy to us in obeying his commandments and doing his will in our lives. We must all take the time to understand the deeper meaning of the great gift we have been given and not to take it for granted. Understanding this deeper meaning and developing that spiritual depth is discernment in its purest form. And it is the beginning of the journey to theosis, that is becoming more like God. And that is why we are here. We are continuously throughout our lives working on our salvation and coming closer to God. We're on that journey of theosis every day of our lives till our last breath. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to receive the Holy Eucharist this morning. Christ is risen.
Indeed.